The Getty Villa by Malibu is by far the most exquisite museum in Los Angeles, and in many ways, a spiritual oasis. Nothing short of an ancient temple, filled with some of the finest artifacts and treasures of antiquity, housed in a palatial setting with a pool fit for the gods. While I am here today for academic reasons to see the new exhibit on ancient Iran, I'm easily swept away by the rich displays from Rome, Greece, Etruria, and the ancient forgotten Aryan civilization of the Mediterranean that they were based on. And while many of my fellow Americans are being programmed to tear down statues, persuaded by a Marxist social agenda, the esoteric history and meaning that the ancient art communicates belongs to everyone, regardless of political ideology. The Seder exemplifies the mysteries of Dionysus, god of wine and divine ecstasy, one of the most misunderstood cults of antiquity, denounced by much of the modern organized religious world as satanic, and who along with Pan are said to have had the most influence on the current archetypal view of Satan as animal-like and horned. That said, there are many parallels between the legends of Dionysus and Jesus. Both were said to have been born from a mortal woman, but fathered by a god, to have returned from the dead, and to have transformed water into wine. Inspired by the Scottish anthropologist James Fraser, some have labeled Dionysus as a life, death, rebirth deity. The German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche contrasted Dionysus with the god Apollo, as the early images of Christ portray a young, beardless man who bears a strong resemblance to the solar deity. Apollo is the god of the sun, truth, healing, prophecy, and knowledge, and while many members of Abrahamic faiths will find these comparisons as blasphemous, any student of the ancient mystery school religions, or anthropology for that matter, cannot help but notice the profound influence celestial patterns have had on modern religions, even if they have not yet delved into the deeper esoteric meaning behind astrotheology itself. The sun represents light, but at night, the Roman god Jupiter is supreme, lined up along the ecliptic shortly after sunset, traversing the 12 houses of the zodiac, considered the king of the gods, with its 12-year orbit, mirrored in the Greek god Zeus, the Norse Thor, Hindu Indra, Baltic Perkunas, Slavic Perun, Egyptian Amon, the Mesopotamian Marduk, Etruscan Tinia, and the Phoenician Baal. That said, Antiochus IV Epiphanes, the Greek Hellenistic king who ruled the Seleucid Empire around 175 BC, erected a statue of Zeus in the Judean temple in Jerusalem, who the Jews refer to as Baal Shamun, which in English means Lord of Heaven. Another deity associated to the planet Jupiter, usually as his son, is Hercules, who in mythology had to perform 12 labors, feats so difficult that they seemed impossible, such as slaying a lion, which are symbolic of the passing through the 12 houses of the zodiac, which also has parallels in the biblical story of Samson, who also kills a lion with his bare hands, or the Sumerian Gilgamesh, who also famously defeated a lion. The pattern speaks to the diffusion of the same ancient archetypal story from prehistory, which was disseminated across the world by a seafaring civilization who depended on a knowledge of the stars to navigate the seas at night. Of course, these stories have deeper esoteric meaning, which is really about spirituality in a very real sense, which is at the core of the mysteries, of which celestial mechanics and the zodiac is only the outer veneer, which many uninitiated modern scholars have yet to penetrate beyond. The Aryan or Indo-Iranian and later Roman cult of Mithras was also linked to Jupiter, as well as a 12-part zodiac, and like the Dionysian cults, also had its own Mithraic mysteries based on solar symbolism. When Mithras is seen slaying the bull, it represents the passage of the age of Taurus into the Aryan age of Aries, the ram. The same way that Moses destroying the golden calf symbolizes the end of the Taurian age, or Hercules killing the lion ended the age of Leo. Mithras, as a Zoroastrian solar divinity, predates Christianity, yet Mithras shares the same alleged birthday as Jesus on December 25th, born of a virgin, also revered a cross as a symbol. Both religions employed the rite of baptism. Both considered Sunday their holy day, and both considered abstinence, celibacy, and self-control to be among their highest virtues. Likewise, both considered the soul as immortal, and both awaited the last judgment and resurrection. Despite these similarities, they also both were struggling against each other to become the moral leader within the Roman Empire, with many Roman soldiers subscribing to the Mithraic mysteries, but Christianity winning out in the end. That said, the Aryan Buddha was said to have also been born on December 25th, 563 BC. His mother was a virgin, and here we see Buddha flanked by a figure of his guardian, Vajrapani, who's usually synchronized with Hercules or Jupiter, in one hand carrying a Vajra, which symbolically is the same as Zeus's lightning, Hercules' sacred club, or Thor's hammer. Incidentally, if we take a closer look at this 1872 depiction of Thor, particularly his belt, we notice a swastika, which is also tied into the occult mysteries, with one of the greatest proponents of astrotheology being honorary 33rd degree Freemason Manly P. Hall.
If you are a skeptic in matters of astrology, you will probably ask for concrete proof that astrological predictions have actually been made. These old books are the proof of such predictions. In the first place, we have dear old Mother Shipton. She was not very handsome, but one of the greatest seeresses of all times. Living in 1450 AD, she actually predicted the discovery of America, the discovery of gold in California, the invention of aeroplanes and submarines, the inventions of automobiles. She even went so far as to say that the time would come in the distant future when women would cut their hair and wear trousers. In this chart, the first sign of the zodiac is Aries, extending from March 20th to April 20th. Those born under this sign are strong, courageous, optimistic people with positive, pioneering spirits and fitted for leadership. The second sign of the zodiac, Taurus, rules from April 20th to May 20th and bestows upon those born under it a courageous but rather stubborn disposition, but also a great love for the fine arts, culture, and the beautiful things of life. The third sign of the zodiac, Gemini, rules those born between the 20th of May and the 20th of June. It bestows a dual nature with love of change and travel and some tendency to nervousness. Those born under the sign of Cancer the Crab, ruling from June 20th to July 20th, are born with strong family attachments, considerable vanity, and a sensitive, high-strung temperament. It is interesting to note that the United States of America came into existence under the sign of Cancer the Crab. Now, the fifth sign of the zodiac, Leo, ruling from July 20th to August 20th, is the most loyal and conscientious of the zodiacal signs. It bestows upon those born under it love of leadership, loyalty to friends, high personal principles, and success in those departments of life in which they have authority over others. The sixth sign of the zodiac, Virgo, rules those who are born between the 20th of August and the 20th of September. These people stand in their own way, and if they overcome a tendency to an inferiority complex, can go far in this world. Those born between the 20th of September and the 20th of October are born under the sign of Libra. This is an emotional, artistic sign, a little given to extravagance and somewhat egotistic. These people must develop a practical, everyday, working philosophy of life. The eighth sign of the zodiac, Scorpio, rules those people who are born between the 20th of October and the 20th of November. They are a hard-working, conscientious group of people, but they are often misunderstood because they lack diplomacy. The ninth sign of the zodiac, Sagittarius, rules those people who are born between the 20th of November and the 20th of December. This is an optimistic sign, bestowing a genial disposition, a tendency to extravagance and overindulgence, but a general optimism on all the problems of life. The 10th sign of the zodiac, Capricorn, governs those who are born between December 20th and January 20th. This sign bestows a grave and taciturn disposition with a considerable tendency towards self-pity. And in order to be happy, the Capricorn person must cultivate a genuine friendliness of nature. The 11th sign of the zodiac is Aquarius, governing those people who are born between the 20th of January and the 20th of February. People born under it are rather inconsistent in their ideas, but they contribute definitely to progress. They are humanitarian, progressive, generous, and sympathetic in their natures and lives. Now, the 12th sign of the zodiac, Pisces, governs from the 20th of February to the 20th of March. Those who are born under it do most of their thinking sitting down because their feet hurt. But in the end, much of the world's greatest progress is accomplished by Piscean people who are mystic, creative, and idealistic in their natures.
While Manly Hall's segment was an oversimplification made for television, there's at least a grain of truth in his presentation regarding the zodiac. Astrotheology was not only the association of deities with heavenly bodies, but the use of cyclical patterns regarding the sun, moon, stars, and planets for purposes of divination, coinciding with fertility rites surrounding the yearly cycle of vegetation. The practice of seeking knowledge of the future or the unknown by supernatural means ideally took place at certain sacred times determined by the constellations, solstices, and equinoxes, and often included the consumption of psychedelic substances, culminating in sacred sex rituals, with the goal being to enter into altered, Gnostic trance-like states of consciousness, allegedly allowing the transcendental access to divine knowledge. Examples of this include cults surrounding Osiris in Egypt, Tammuz in Mesopotamia, Attis in Anatolia, and of course Dionysus, and certain esoteric sects surrounding Jesus. One of the most anticipated times of the year for such initiation rituals was around the time of the winter solstice, when the days shifted from being the shortest during the year to reversing and becoming incrementally longer, with the nights becoming shorter. This was symbolically seen as a time of resurrection in the northern hemisphere, occurring during the sign of Capricorn, the goat, traditionally celebrated with 12 days of alcohol, drugs, and sex, which is why the goat is revered in occult organizations which practice sex magic, whether it be the ancient Magi, the Knights Templar, or the followers of other ancient esoteric orders.
The apron is declared to be an emblem of innocence. According to Manly Hall, when worn over the area related to the animal passions, the pure lambskin signifies the regeneration of the procreative forces and their consecration to the service of the deity. Though the apron clearly has roots in the old world, there is still a significant correlation in the Book of Genesis. According to Masonic author Dr. J. A. Weiss, the Masonic apron originated from the covering or apron of fig leaves adopted by Adam and Eve after the fall. For after partaking of the forbidden fruit, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Thus, we see that the apron might also be said to symbolize the knowledge of good and evil, and, as Hall pointed out, the regeneration of the procreative force resultant from this knowledge.
Naked is used as a description 104 times in Scripture, and in this context has to do with sexual sin. It does not mean that they were physically naked without clothing, but rather that their spiritual condition had been exposed. They felt shame for their sexual sin and were in a state of intellectual and psychological ignorance, a dumbed-down state, spiritually speaking, depleted of their higher vitality and creative life force energy, which in the East is known as Chi or Ki, in India is called Prana, and some European alchemical groups called it Vril. To members of secret societies or all ancient mystery school religions, the serpent was telling Adam and Eve to touch the fruit, but as God instructed, don't eat of it, and their eyes will be open, meaning partake in sexual relations with each other, be in a state of love or making love, but do not go all the way. Try to stay at third base as long as you can without having a home run, if that makes sense. This prolonged state has the same effect on the central nervous system as taking drugs and can lead to mystical experiences, heightened psychic abilities, and rather than expelling the sex energy, transforming it into more subtle forms of spiritual energy, creativity, ambition, drive, and literally genius. Of course, Adam and Eve did not listen. They went all the way, so to speak, and this is represented by the fall and resulted in their expulsion from the garden. So the esoteric tantric interpretation is not to completely avoid carnal activity, but to learn to separate the function that leads to procreation, which expels the life force energy, and instead to harness the energy to nourish the soul. To all ancient mystery religions, all of them, without any exception, the idea was that this bioelectromagnetic energy, when refined and transmuted, fortifies the soul so that it can retain consciousness after physical death. This was the esoteric purpose of circumcision, which predates all Abrahamic faiths and has recently been detected on the mummy of Egyptian pharaoh Amenhotep I using a 3D CAT scan. The findings were reported in the journal Frontiers in Medicine. That said, an ancient silver bowl found in Tibet, dated to the 5th century, shows Alexander the Great three times, once touching fruit from the Tree of Life, but not eating it, and twice drinking from the fountain of life in what appears to be a garden, exposing his circumcised member, which was not a habit known among Macedonians. But Alexander the Great himself was Arian, a student of Aristotle and initiate of the mystery school religion. Arian is a word that predates Sanskrit itself, and in Proto-Indo-Iranian denotes nobility. For example, Gautama Buddha was an Aryan, born into a noble caste. In Hebrew, Ari means lion, the symbol that is on many European flags representing the Aryan nobility that entered Europe, as in the line of Judah, as the Israelite religion itself also stems from the prehistoric solar religion, where the lion represents the sun in its most exalted state, symbolic of spiritual light and illumination.
Albert Pike described this force, saying, "It is the instrument of liberty or free will. They, the initiates, represent this force, which presides over the physical generation, under the mythologic and horned form of the god Pan. Thence came the he-goat of the Shabbat, brother of the ancient serpent, and the light-bearer, or phosphor, of which the poets have made the false Lucifer of the legend." So simply put, the apron can be said to symbolize the occult power of its bearer, and consecration of the serpentine energy for constructive use. The symbolism of the Great Seal of the United States has been the subject of extensive commentary. One detail which seems to have escaped popular notice is the pupil of the all-seeing eye itself. Zooming in, we see that the pupil resembles a flame, but what does this actually mean? There are various interpretations for the eye. It may represent the sun, or eye of the world, also called the eye of Jupiter. For the Egyptians, this role was fulfilled by Horus. It may represent the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. For others, however, it may also represent that genie of fire, Uncle Samael, who sired Cain and thereby begat the craft. Speaking of America, just how did it get that name anyway? Officially, America is named after the explorer Amerigo Vespucci, but this appears doubtful, like so much of American history, which has transformed a one-time pirate of the family name Griego into an iconic hero named Christopher Columbus. As for America, according to Manly Hall, America is named after the plumed serpent, who is the messenger of the sun. He was the god Quetzalcoatl in Mexico, and in Peru he was called Amaru. From the latter name comes our word America. Amaruca is, literally translated, land of the plumed serpent. As this plumed serpent was a messenger of the sun, he was also a light bearer. The serpent is one of the most enigmatic symbols on earth. It has played a part in religious symbolism throughout the world. Sometimes good, a symbol of wisdom, spirit, and regeneration. Other times, as a symbol of darkness, death, and material power. In some cultures, such as the Hebrew, it is both, symbolizing knowledge and evil, wisdom and death. Exactly what the founders envisioned when they named America, we may only guess, but perhaps Aleister Crowley can provide us a clue. Casting light on a number of symbols, in one very potent paragraph, he said, "This serpent, Satan, is not the enemy of man, but he who made gods of our race, knowing good and evil. He bade, know thyself, and taught initiation. He is the devil of the Book of Thoth, and his emblem is Baphomet, the androgyne, who is the hieroglyph of arcane perfection. But moreover, his letter is Ion, the eye. He is light, and his zodiacal image is Capricornus, that leaping goat whose attribute is liberty." Which brings us, at last, to the goat. The goat is one of the most popular Masonic animals, an association which has been the cause of much speculation and controversy. One accusation, which is vehemently denied, is that part of the initiation involves riding a goat. The standard explanation is given in Masonry Defined, which claims it harkens back to the Middle Ages and the belief in the witch orgies, where, it was said, the devil appeared riding on a goat. It was, in England, a common belief that the Freemasons were accustomed in their lodges to raise the devil. So the riding of the goat, which was believed to be practiced by the witches, was transferred to the Freemasons, and the saying remains to this day. Zodiacally, the home of Saturn, the origin of our Satan, is Capricorn, pictured in the firmament by a goat. The goat is the symbol of evil, and riding the goat signifies that temptations have been vanquished, the devil overcome, and the animal instincts sublimated into spiritual assets. Some detractors have suggested that riding the goat has some sort of sexual connotation. Looking at these pictures and reading such stories as told by Brother Lomas, who truly is to be blamed for such suspicions? Albert Pike already provided us a significant clue when he mentioned that the initiates represent this force which presides over the physical generation under the mythologic and horned form of the god Pan. Thence came the he-goat of the Shabbat. These pictures, then, along with the others, may be interpreted as an initiation of the occult power of generativity, that serpent of the Kundalini. But there are other clues to the goat's identity. In the poem, The Goat, we read that the goat rewards the pursuit of masonry, but punishes one for engaging in worldly things, including prayer. Smoking, however, is apparently condoned, along with alcohol. There was one stunt in particular, entitled Drinking the Goat's Blood. The symbolism behind this is obvious, but there is no need to speculate, for the liner notes of the catalog state that there can be no more appropriate ceremony than serving the candidate with the blood of the animal, in order that he might be thoroughly imbued with the spirit and life of the organization. This significant statement brings us to our final interpretation, and it is this. The goat is the motive power upon which its rider travels. And what is this power? It has already been thoroughly elucidated, but to recap, it is associated with Pan, the he-goat, and the ancient serpent, with Phosphor, the light-bearer, yea, Lucifer.
Of course, there's a lot of reservation around the word Lucifer, which literally means light-bearer, but over the centuries has come to be associated with the Prince of Darkness. While the planet Venus is traditionally portrayed as a goddess, such as Inanna by the Sumerians or Aphrodite by the Greeks, in its morning appearance, the Greeks refer to Venus as Phosphorus, which is what is meant by the term morning star, and is depicted as a torch-bearing man. In the northern hemisphere, Venus appears most brightly in the sky in December, because the days are shortest at that time, signaling a beginning of the rebirth phase of the sun, where the days would get longer and winter would end. Ancient mystery religions, or as anthropologists like to say, fertility cults, engaged in alchemical rituals or sacred sex rites at this time. During the sign of Capricorn the goat, which the powers that be outlawed for the general public, and so Luciferianism was banned by the Pope and punishable by death, usually by being burned alive, as was the fate of the Cathars and Templars, both of whom partook in achieving altered Gnostic trance-like states of consciousness, in most cases through tantric sex, and were labeled as heretical, evil, sinful, witches, and the philosophy was forced to go underground in the form of alchemy, which is not really about the transmutation of metal, but the transmutation of carnal lust into spiritual gold, as well as secret societies, which at one time were set up to defend freedom and liberty, both politically and spiritually, but have long since been infiltrated and corrupted, now in servitude to those same suppressive forces that they were initially set up to resist. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon, and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.